Hello, hello, hello.
How are you doing?
We are back and ready. We hope that things are going well with you.
And while you're thinking about making all that chicken and turkey, I mean your roasts,
your mashed potatoes, your plantain, jollof rice, assorted stew,
And tons of dessert,
you may want to diversify your dinner and lunch repertoire with some of the dishes we'll be talking about today. Because today, it's all about salads.
That's right. This is our fourth special. Oh my God, four already.
I know.
Wow. We've called it a side of salad. We tried four salads, one from Tunisia and North Africa. It's called Omek Huria. One is from South Africa. It's called Chakalaka.
From Seychelles off the East African coast, we'll talk about Salade de Palmiste. And from West Africa, there is a salad mix. Guineans call it a Guinean salad, and Nigerians call it Nigerian salad. Yeah, we won't go into that. But it's sure a salad, and at least two different countries in West Africa eat that salad. So here's the thing about salad. I don't know about you, Yemi, but I remember when I was a kid, I was not really a big salad fan. Like, if I'm not lying, up till today, I'm not really a big fan of raw vegetables. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that my mom, to make us eat it, she would bring in grated cheese and ham and make this really fancy. She'd make this really fancy salad that would now force us to eat all the vegetables. I think another reason why I didn't like salad was I was traumatized because whenever we're making salad, my job was to grate carrots.
Hey.
Using a regular grate. Not, hey, you know those nice ones they have now?
Oh, yeah. They used to make me do that too.
I would grate a full bowl with a hand grate by myself.
And cut cucumber.
Of carrots. I didn't cut cucumber, but that salad grates, that carrot grating thing made me upset. So, yeah. Anyway.
I know we don't talk about it here, but one of my favorite salads is fruit salad.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because they now add, like, Fanta or juice inside. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you add Fanta to your salad.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, for me, I get...
I know there were times there were Fanta juices, but also you could add, like, vanilla flavor or something like that. Mm. Oh, so delicious.
I make mine with Angostura. So for me, especially when I make a fruit salad here, I try to use very, very juicy fruit so that it's kind of sweet without adding anything. So I'll use like a lot of orange juice, like fresh oranges, pineapple, watermelon, like really, you know, and then I'll now start putting in things like apples and grapes and then Angostura bitters, which they use for Chapman. And that just kicks it up a notch, makes it a little bit more adult.
Yeah, and we definitely ate a lot of the Nigerian Ghanaian salad we're going to talk about. And my favorite part, and we're going to get into it, was the egg. Hey. Well, you know what, you want to steal all the egg on top. Anyway, I think the thing about salad is that there's so many different ways to do it. You can make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are or what vegetables you have. You can get creative as long as you mix some fruits, some veggies. In fact, some meats. Just warm meat and call it a salad.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah.
Can be like a warm salad. You're right. Like, I think one of my favorite salads is this one my mom used to make. It's arugula or if you're in Europe, rocket. So you have rockets or arugula with some olives, cheese, apples, grapes. It's actually pretty delicious.
It sounds delicious.
No, it's really good.
Oh.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, definitely fruit salad, the Nigerian salad afterwards. For me, Ijeoma, you know me well enough. I love things that are delicious, that are like sweet, sweet.
Okay, because when you say you love things that are delicious, nobody loves things that are not delicious.
I mean, some people eat bitter cola. I don't understand. But yeah, I love things that are like very sweet. So definitely the fruit salad was, oh my God, so awesome. Especially if you have it and there's watermelon inside on a really nice warm day.
Can I ask a question? In your fruit salad, did you ever put bananas inside?
No.
Thank you. That's all. This is a coded message to somebody. We don't put bananas inside fruit salad.
Now, even though you can do what you like with a salad, some are specifically tied to a country or a region. For instance, kachumbari is big in many parts of East Africa, especially in the Great Lake countries like Kenya and Tanzania. Kachumbari is an onion and tomato salad. You chop up the tomatoes and onions and then it looks like salsa. Some people also add cilantro or parsley or avocado or cucumber or lemon juice. Just, you know, they just zizz it up.
it actually does remind me a lot of salsa.
Yeah. We tried out zalouk a few weeks ago when we were in Morocco, but that's just one of many salads you can find in North Africa.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at South Africa, we didn't make this particular salad, but there's one called, guys, I might massacre this a little bit. I actually tried to look up how to pronounce it. Slapaskinjis.
It's a Slapaskintjis.
Well, the T was silent when I listened to the pronunciation. Slapaskinjis. So this is basically a pickled onion salad. It's mainly an onion salad. So you boil the onions in water and salt. And then you make this little vinaigrette that has like lemon, vinegar, mustard, sugar, salt, and egg.
Mm-hmm.
And you whisk it all together. And I think you like cook it for a little bit slowly so that the egg doesn't curdle. And then you pour it over the onion thingy and you eat it. I was afraid to try it. I'm not going to lie. Plus, I didn't know how to get pickling onions. So I was like, yeah, we're not going to do this one. Anyway. And now there's another kind of salad, which we also didn't make. And I'm trying not to be biased, but I'm going to talk about the salad only because literally if you make the mistake of thinking Africa is a country and you Google African salad, this is what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's called abacha. Okay, Yemi's face. So this is from a part of the country of Nigeria where I'm from, Southeast Nigeria. And we call it African salad. And it's actually made from dried cassava and something called uba, which is like oil bean seed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually very, very high in carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is that you mix it with palm oil, fish, and all kinds of spices. That's basically what it is. So it's really not like a salad, but if you ever Google African salad, that's what comes up.
So yeah, I don't like it either.
That's okay.
We tried it at our friend's house and they were featured in one of our artist specials. But yeah, that was the very first time I tried it, which was weird. Like I tried it for the first time in Canada, even though I grew up in Nigeria.
No, correction. We didn't try it for the first time. See, I had tried it before as a child, so I already knew. So when they were like, oh, do you want to try abacha? I was like, oh, I'm good, thank you. And then Yemi was feeling adventurous. She's like, yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, because we were both there, Daddy, right?
Yeah, I was just watching. I was like, this is going to be fun.
And I tried it on my face. You know when you eat something, but you don't want to be offensive? And you're like, yeah, I personally don't like it. But what I've come to find is that it's an acquired taste.
It is an acquired taste. A lot of people like it.
Especially with the palm oil. Like, oh my God, folks. Anyway,
it's there, and you might like it. It's definitely an acquired taste. I personally don't like it, but I know a lot of people who do, and my people are probably going to come for me for not liking it, but that's okay. I can take it.
Anyway, there are a lot of other salads we can talk about. There's a lentil salad from Ethiopia called Azifa. We will post links about salads that are native to different regions in Africa, but let's talk about the ones that we did actually make.
Yeah, that's a good point. So with that, we're going to delve right into it. Our first salad was omekhuria, which is a spicy carrot salad from Tunisia. Tunisia is in North Africa. The carrots are actually mashed, so the consistency is kind of like a dip.
Mm-hmm.
And you serve it with olives, boiled eggs, and tuna. And you can eat it with bread as well if you want.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of a carrot, it's the same color as carrots.
Yeah, it's mainly a carrot salad.
But carrots that looks like mashed potato.
That's a pretty good way to describe it. Carrot, yeah. Orange mashed potato.
Exactly.
That's top.
Orange mashed potato.
Yeah.
With some olives on top, some tuna in the middle.
And some boiled
and
eggs.
Then some eggs around it.
I feel like you're giving the welcome. Eggs special attention. Anyway.
Let's continue. Shasha.
So basically, if you wanted to make this omekhuria, it doesn't require a lot of stuff. The only thing that you might not have in your pantry that you need is harissa. And harissa is, I think it comes as a paste, but I actually found it in our grocery store in the international section, or in the rub section, I think it was. It was easy to find, but it was a powder. So what I did was I took an equal amount of the powder blend and added some water and made it into a paste.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it's the same harissa. So for this, you're going to need carrots, of course, garlic, harissa, pepper. It said pepper, but I used paprika because I didn't know which pepper they're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Olive oil, olives, hard-boiled eggs, and caraway seeds. Now, I didn't have caraway seeds, and I have this habit of buying spices for a particular dish and then not using it again for like a year. So I Googled what I could use as a kind of replacement, and I came up with fennel, because I already have fennel. I have a whole bag of fennel that I've still not used. I had it from when in Lesotho, I think, which was like a gajillion weeks ago. So what you want to do is you clean the carrots, you slice them, you boil them. When they're done, you kind of mash them into like, it doesn't have to be extremely smooth, but kind of a rough mash consistency depending on how you like it. And then once you've mashed it, you're actually going to fry that mix in olive oil and add a little of the harissa, some garlic, and fennel or caraway, whichever one you have, and pepper. You basically just fry it, add the spices, and with the link I found, I think there was no specific time, like how long it took to cook it. But once your carrots are soft enough to boil, everything you're making is already kind of cooked, right? So until you're comfortable, basically cook it until you're comfortable. You're going to keep stirring it consistently until you feel like it's done.
Like I would say until it's like soft and mushy a little bit.
Well, that's how long you cook the carrots for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the carrots are already cooked.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost like a quick stir fry of everything else. And so you're comfortable with how well the spices have gotten into giving it the body.
Okay.
So once that's done, you top it with your hard-boiled eggs, which you've maybe sliced into slices or quarters, whichever works for you for a nice, you know, look. You top it with the eggs, the olives, and tuna. And if you want any more salt, you can top it with a little bit of salt. And there you are.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think?
I liked it. Apparently, I can't use the word smash because apparently it means something else.
Just
and I'm
me.
The only one that thinks the word smash I can use it for food. But I gobbled it all the way down. Like, it's really good. It's probably the spice that you got, but it had this, I would say, a little bit nutty flavor. If that's the way I would describe it. But the carrot kind of gave it that balance where you didn't feel like, oh, I'm just eating like plain old carrots. So it wasn't particularly very sweet, but it's kind of had this kick of flavor. So you know how when you eat something and the flavor kind of hits you at the end?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not something when you put it right in your mouth, you're like, oh my God, it's so flavorful. Yes. Like anime, you know, like if, okay, so anyone that watches anime, so you know when they eat something and it's like, oh no, it wasn't like that, but it's more like, oh,
another hello. Dimension.
Oh my God, a layer opened and another layer.
Ooh. Can I just say something? I hope that that's actually how it's supposed to taste and it's not because I didn't stir the spices improperly.
No, it actually was good because like it's like every time you take a different bite you have a different
experience.
Discovery and experience. So I really like it. I think it'll be really fantastic as a dip, particularly with hard bread or cracker or something. Obviously I didn't eat mine with tuna because everybody knows I hate fish, but I can see mentally how it will be good with something like a tuna on top, because then that gives it a different layer. So yeah, would recommend.
I also loved it a lot, and I understand what you're saying. I'm wondering if, because I know what spices went into it, and I know very well what licorice flavor can do. So I'm thinking that the fennel may have added that burst. Fennel is kind of similar to anise in that regard. So it's not minty, but it's a licorice thing. Yeah, that's probably what it was. So fennel was nice. There were those little bulbs. I don't know if you saw those little brown bulbs. Yeah, that's what that was. It was the fennel. So
it was nice.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved that because I could taste a little bit of garlic as well, which I liked. And so speaking to what Yemi said, how she said that it wasn't quite sweet because there were all these other spices that kind of took away from the sweetness and added a savoriness. It was like a savory sweet.
God bless you.
I know. Thank you. So there's the garlic and licorice from the fennel that basically just came together and mixed with the sweetness of the carrot. And I really liked it. And I completely understand what you were talking about the different depths of flavor. And I think the harissa also played a part.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even need to use salt. At a point, I was like, this is a little bit too salty, to be honest. Because I think the harissa mix was oversalted.
Honestly, just to add to what you're saying, just having the olives actually even added a different depth.
Oh, yeah.
And it also has a little bit of tartiness to it. So it's just like, it just jumped from me.
Did you have egg as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, it was like giving you, let me explain to you people.
Okay.
So you know, if you go for massage.
I'll take a seat.
May God bless you. Like, you
it
know.
It might take a while.
Let's say you go for massage, And they're massaging, let's say they start with the back. And you're like, this feels good. Then they just hit the spot that is hard. And you go, this is nice. And then they switch to another side. And you're like, no, it's this part. And they start switching to another part. Like, oh no, which part is paining you? Is this part? So by the time you're done, your whole body is sweet. But you don't know which part choked you the most.
All I can tell is that life must be very awkward for your massage therapist. If this is how you react. No, but honestly, I would highly recommend this as a dish, a very simple to make dish that has multiple depths of flavor. Mm-hmm. Like she said, like there's the flavor from the fennel, there's the flavor from the garlic, there's the added punch of flavor from the harissa. And then you add little things to it, like you have the olives like we talked about. And then the egg, everybody, like if you eat egg with stuff, you know it's kind of neutral, but it nicely rounds out something. Mm-hmm. And then as someone who does eat tuna, you will love this with tuna. Like again, like you said, another dimension of flavor. I was getting so excited because this is how I was eating. I would eat the carrot by itself, then I would have it with the olives, then I'd have it with the olives and the tuna, and the olives and the tuna and the egg. I was like, okay, what will happen if I leave out the tuna?
Like it's
and
a
have
full it, meal it, by itself.
And then I had it with bread too. I took it with a little bit of bread and I was like, gosh darn it, guys, Tunisia, why do we not all
where
make
have
this?
You been all my life?
No, I love this is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful salad.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan.
Yeah, so I almost feel like going into our second dish. Okay, fine. Our second dish, you're okay to, like, you know, I don't want to, because I feel like we've overhyped this. Oh my god. Anyway, our second dish is something you can call a salad or maybe something else depending on where you're looking at it or how you're looking at it. But in this case, we can call it also a relish. It's from South Africa and it's called chakalaka. Chakalaka is also heavy on the carrots, but it also has baked beans, onions, garlic, ginger, and a mix of peppers.
Yeah, so with all of that, imagine the major one of the major ingredients is carrots, so it's also kind of orange. I don't know what else to say.
So yeah, I would say it's kind of orange, but
shredded carrots, I guess.
Like it's shredded carrots. But you also have all the other pieces shredded, but it has, it's not as colorful as you'd imagine because by the time everything is mixed together,
it looks kind of orange.
It looks kind of orange, but also the baked beans, the mm-hmm. juice from baked beans gives this really nice glaze.
Mm, that's true.
So by the time you have all, they're all not distinct parts. It almost looks like a stew with very little water in it.
That's probably why they call it a relish, actually. That makes sense.
So it's, yeah, it's very close to, if you think of what a relish is like, where it's almost like, it looks almost gelatinous, but yeah. It's not quite.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have all these vegetables inside. So it's very, very close to, yeah.
A relish.
A relish type consistency, but with all the vegetables that we've mentioned before.
Yeah. And looking at pictures of chakalaka, it seems to be that there are different consistencies to it as well. I found some that are more runny than the ones that we made. But anyway, to make chakalaka, you need grated carrots, you need baked beans, you need red and green pepper. The recipe I used called for red and green pepper, but I didn't have red pepper, so I used green. And these are bell peppers, by the way. I used green and yellow. You can use Thai chilies, that's what it asked for, but I just used those red pepper chili flakes instead. Mm-hmm. Then you have onions, curry powder, salt, pepper, oil, olive or vegetable, whichever you prefer. Then you have fresh garlic, fresh ginger and paprika, but you can use powdered garlic and powdered ginger as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I have the opportunity to use fresh, I always go with fresh because I think they pack a better punch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's basically like a fry. You heat up some oil, you fry your peppers, your onions and all of that. Then you add your ginger, your paprika, your garlic and your curry. And then you add your carrots. You cook the carrots for like a good 10 minutes or so. That allows the time to release its juices. So as you cook it, it's releasing its juices. I would say don't cook it under high heat, obviously. So I kind of used low to, I think I used medium heat to allow it to cook a little bit. And then after like 10 minutes, you add your baked beans and then you cook for like 5 minutes. Baked beans is already good to eat raw, right? Or not raw, from the can the way it is already good to eat. So you don't want to cook it for too long. I think cooking time maybe 20-25 minutes tops, and then you can eat it. You're good to go. You can serve it hot or cold.
One thing about this dish is we've both been fortunate. I don't know if you've had it. Have you had it from the table?
Well, that was the thing. I remember seeing it one day at a dinner table when she had people over, but I didn't try it, I don't think. I don't remember.
So I'm not sure if you folks remember, but we did have one of our friends, Letabo, who also tried the jollof dish. And I've been fortunate to have this from her as well, in addition to the one Ijoma made. Good thing they tasted very similar.
Oh, thank God.
They did. And she's South African. So I love chakalaka. So yeah, she served it to us with the pap and the sausage. It is amazing. Like you just keep going like, yum, 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 yum. Now,
I hope those are not the sounds you make when you're eating it, Sha.
There's a reason we do not record ourselves eating on this podcast. Okay. So one thing I really like about it is that you can set your level of spiciness or chilliness or hotness or whatever you want to call it. So I've had it where it's been more on the spicy side, and I've also had it where it's been more on the mild side. I personally like the more spicier version. However, the good thing about it is that you can use it both as a dip, and you can also use it almost as a stew to eat with the pap. And another good thing is that because it's a mix of different vegetables, and the beans kind of brings it all together, so the juice from the baked beans kind of rounds it out nicely, then what happens is that when you eat it, you have your initial beans that you get into, but the crunchiness of all the vegetables in addition to the softness of the pap or whatever your side is, you know, you don't have to use pap, you can use whatever else, actually makes it a really, 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 really good side dish. You can also have it, say you're, for example, you're watching like a football game or something like that. It is also very, very fantastic to have as a dipping sauce. I would highly recommend. And the good thing about this as well, as I said before, is that because you can set your spiciness level, the baked beans gives it the sweetness, but you can also set the spiciness. You can actually manage the balance of the flavors that actually come through.
Okay. Kind of a hard act to follow now, but we'll try.
Try.
Especially my next sentence. This smell made me think of jollof rice. I don't know why. I think it was the beans.
Wait, hang on. Let's just take a moment to just absorb that nothing about that was rice.
I know.
Nothing about that had like...
anything to do with jollof rice.
Okay, continue. I know.
I don't know why. It made me think of like a cross between jollof rice and beans. I don't know what it was. I found it a little too peppery. I think I went overboard for me.
Yeah, I liked it too. Yeah, very
but,
good.
No, but it makes sense because I think your pepper interests are higher than mine.
Yeah, like, well, I do have a higher tolerance than you because I'm a boss.
Okay.
I'm a boss.
Right. It was good. No, I liked it. Don't get me wrong. Please, South Africa. I did not say it was jollof rice. I just said it made me think. And jollof rice is my happy place, so there. But I don't know what it was about it. Now, I'm not a big baked beans person anymore. I used to eat baked beans more as a kid. Now, I think when I bought the baked beans, this is the first time I may have bought baked beans in my entire adult life. And I'm not even kidding.
What? There's one in my pantry right now.
Nope. I see it all the time. I never buy it. But I liked it a lot. I liked the sweetness from the carrots. The baked beans added this creaminess that I appreciated.
Yes.
Yeah, it did feel like the relish. I kind of understand what you like. It's, I don't know how to explain it, because if you think about it, think about the ingredients that go into this. It's carrot. But the carrot has also been made a little bit savory, kind of like with the omekoria, with the ginger and the garlic. Mm-hmm. And then you have sweet peppers going in as well. Then you have like the baked beans, like you said, rounds it out nicely. I liked it. I found, though, that it's definitely, I would see it definitely more as a relish, as a side, which is what I think it's built for, because there's a lot of flavor packed into one tasteful.
Yes.
Yes. And so because of that, I think I wouldn't eat it. I wouldn't eat a lot of it by itself. I would need something to break up that taste for me, for sure.
Which is why I think the pap goes perfectly.
Perfectly, yeah. The pap is a very good neutral.
It's very neutral. Yeah. Almost tasteless. Mm-hmm. So it's very neutral. It's almost like eating it with a tofu. So with all those flavors, it actually breaks it up very nicely in there.
Okay. I had it with ribs.
Okay.
I had to eat grilled ribs because I was like, I'm allowed to eat ribs because I have this healthy vegetable thing going with it. Another thing I found that I liked it a little warm. I didn't like it hot. I don't know. I'm assuming it's supposed to be room temperature as well for the most part.
Yeah, not too cold. I've never had it super cold.
Okay. And not hot either, right?
Yeah, not hot.
Not like room temperature. Okay. Yeah, in terms of texture, it was soft, a little mushy, a little bit of that carrot crunch was still there. Mm-hmm. Definitely crunchier than the omekuria, but no, I would definitely, like you said, it's like a relish. I would recommend it for sure. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Next, we headed east for something truly special and very different because it's made with a vegetable neither of us had heard of. Off the East African coast in the Indian Ocean is a country called Seychelles. And in Seychelles, there is a vegetable called heart of palm. It's the main ingredient in a third salad called salade de palmiste.
So the heart of palm comes from the inner core of certain palm trees, usually coconut or acai or acai.
Yeah, acai.
Is acai or acai?
No, there's a little S at the under the C.
Oh my God.
It literally tells you pronounce me as an S. Acai. I feel like you said acai and somebody beat you up.
You know, I've had this. you know what? I will die on this hill. Acai. Acai. Drop a comment. Is it acai or acai?
It's acai.
Anyway. The vegetable is pale yellow, kind of somewhere between white and pale yellow, and it's shaped kind of like a stem. If you're using it fresh, you have to cut through a thick outer layer, which essentially seems like you're cutting through a coconut, but it is hard and relatively fibrous. If you want to visualize it, I personally think it looks like a sugar cane, but the outer layer, if you are trying to imagine it before you get to the core, is, if you can imagine, like a bamboo stem. So you're cutting through the bamboo stem into the hollowed part, but instead of a hollowed part of the bamboo stem, you have the inner layer, which is the what you then eat. Yeah,
it's much softer, and that's where the white, soft white comes in. Mm-hmm.
But we use the canned version.
Yeah.
You know, you actually don't have to do all the work because we're not about that life, you know.
No. I wasn't traipsing through trying to look for fresh out of palm.
No. So we use the canned version. And if you use that, you don't need to cut through all those fibrous layers. It's been done for you, okay? Just open up the can. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're from, say, Florida or Trinidad, you might know heart of palm, but you will know it as palm cabbage or palmetto. In the Philippines, it's called ubod. In Spanish, it's called corazón. I've said I've Frenched up this word. Hey, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
In Spanish, it's called corazón de palma. And in Italian, it's called cuore di palma.
The heart of palm has a lot of fiber and is very rich in minerals like potassium, iron, zinc, and phosphorus. It is also supposed to be a very good source of protein. And the one thing you'd need to watch for is the sodium content, though. If you're using the canned version, it can get pretty salty.
Yeah, like because I guess to preserve it, they put it in salt water.
Mm-hmm.
So I found
like
that
like a brine or something.
Yeah, like a brine, exactly. So that's the only thing. Now, to make salad de palmiste, you need your heart of palm, you need the juice of a lemon, vinegar, oil, red onions, which have been thinly sliced, spring onions. The recipe called for spring onions. I didn't use that. Salt and black pepper. This is optional, but you can also use like a tablespoon of sugar. So to make this, you take the heart of palm, you slice it very thinly. Initially, I was trying to use a mandolin and then I got tired because it's kind of soft. It's not like firm, so it didn't hold up under the mandolin the way I wanted it to. So I basically just took a knife and just tried to shred it as much as I could because you're supposed to slice it thinly. Once you slice it though, unless you're using the canned version, which might take care of this problem, opened up heart of palm oxidizes really quickly. So think of the way avocado goes dark when you open it up, that kind of situation. So what you want to do then to make sure that that doesn't happen, when you shred it, you put it in a mix of lemon juice and salt.
Okay.
Now, we were using brine already, so I just squirted some lemon juice over it. And I'm wondering if I even needed to, because that brine may have already helped to preserve it.
Yeah.
But I squirted in some lemon juice. All you have to do is shred that, put that to the side, and then you now make your vinaigrette with everything else. So you mix your lemon juice, your sugar, olive oil, and onion. Your onions are also sliced very thinly. You whisk all of that together, and then you toss the heart of palm in the vinaigrette, and you're good to go. Now, the instructions said that you should drain out the lemon juice that you used to preserve the heart of palm. I didn't do that because I was panicking about the oxidation, and also I wanted to try to, we're going to eat the salad like 24 hours later. So I didn't want it to go brown. So I didn't drain out that. So it was like extra lemony. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I liked it. It's very, I may have overdone it on the acid. So it was kind of acidic. But I don't know how to explain. It made me think of something that had been pickled, even though nothing had actually been pickled.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think of something pickled. And I had this desire to try it with a boiled egg, but I don't think I did. Like there's this whole boiled egg thing going on right now that we're talking about salads. But I remember that when I tried it, I was like, it was bothering me. I was like, I know this flavor. What is this flavor? And you know what's weird? Mm-hmm. It made me think of egg salad.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It reminded me, because I was like, what is this? And then I was like, egg salad! Even though there was no egg or anything in it, there was just something about the flavor. It's kind of hard for me to describe the texture of this. It's not soft, but it's not quite crunchy. It reminded me of egg salad. But then there was something about the texture that made me think of maybe a slightly softer kimchi. Yeah, I liked it. If I had to think about it, there was a little bit of sweetness from the sugar, something pickled, something sharp tasting. something a little bit soft but not quite soft, a little bit crunchy but not quite crunchy. Mm-hmm. It was just really different, but I liked it.
Yeah. Well, it made me really think of water chestnuts and turnips. So both of them are relatively crunchy. I know turnips, I've mostly had them where they have been pickled a little bit in some kind of salad or stir fry or something. But like a watermelon that is hard. Okay. I know how I'll describe it. You know watermelon, right? You have the red part, but then you have that white part at the edge. Mm-hmm. So that part.
Oh, okay.
Not the red part that is sweet. The white part that has not been cooked. Like that, well, never cooked, but the white part. So crunching into the vegetable actually reminded me of that. So the most I could think about, like, water chestnuts and...
Ooh, this turnip thing. Is that what you find, like, when you go to buy a shawarma and they make
Yes.
Oh, I have had it before, the turnip. Yeah. Okay.
Now, that being said, I liked it. I liked the crunchiness of it. Taste was a little mixed for me. I think it was the acidity was a little much. And funny enough, the fibrous nature of it reminded me of abacha.
Oh.
So it was really confusing because when I crunch into it, some parts reminded me of the water chestnuts and, you know, the thicker side of a watermelon or a turnip. But then the more I ate it, it reminded me of abacha because abacha is very like thinly sliced, so relatively fibrous as well. So I really like those other fruits that I just mentioned, but I really don't like abacha. So my spirits and body were very, very confused. However, overall, I actually liked it. I don't think it's something that I'll go out of my way to make, but it's something that if I came across on a menu or it was offered to me, I would eat it. Now, I think something that may have been playing against it when I tasted it is because I tasted it right after eating chakalaka. So that one has so much flavor. Mm-hmm. And then going right after and tasting this, which doesn't have quite as much of a burst of flavor, may have just been like, oh, like a letdown after a roller coaster ride.
Okay. No, I really enjoyed it. And I would treat it, like I said, it made me think, I think because of its pickled nature. Kimchi is not necessarily pickled, is it?
It is.
Oh, okay. But I don't think you can eat a whole plate of kimchi.
Oh, God, no.
Okay. So that's the kind of thing. I wouldn't be able to eat a full plate of it without something else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Our last, but definitely not the least, salad is very, very popular in parts of West Africa. This salad starts out pretty simple, like something you'll find anywhere. You have shredded lettuce, sometimes some cabbage, but that's optional. You also have sliced cucumber, grated carrots, onions, and cherry tomatoes or sliced tomatoes.
And then it gets extra real quick. You throw in baked beans, throw in corned beef, sliced boiled eggs, and then top all of that with Heinz salad cream.
It has to be Heinz.
That Heinz is important.
It's really important.
Like, honestly,
I don't know how it became African salad with Heinz salad cream, but...
The funny thing is that Heinz is not really big here. Like the salad, no, the brand is big, but the cream itself is something you see more in like a specialty store or something like that. Anyway, yeah, this salad is incomplete without Heinz salad cream.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably other brands of salad cream, but that's the one that we grew up with. That's the one I know.
If you use another type, it doesn't taste the same.
Well, how will you know? You haven't seen other types of salad cream.
I don't care.
Okay.
I'm just telling you now.
Heinz, please pay us for this. So.
My spirit knows. It's not the same.
Heinz had better just pay us for this. So salad cream... For people, I think this is, I don't know if salad cream is really popular in North America, but salad cream is like, it looks like mayonnaise, but it's like a thinner, runnier version. It's not thick. It's like the consistency of ketchup, but white. It's like a sweetened, runnier, slightly tangy dressing, kind of, yeah. It's thick, white
sweet
dressing.
Sweet and tangy?
Yeah.
Hello. Just like Ijeoma and I'm sweet, she's tangy.
All right.
So we're not exactly sure just how healthy this salad is if you're eating it as a side. To be honest, I would dare to say that it is an entire meal by itself. All things considered,
yeah,
the salad cream itself has a lot of sugar.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, there's quite, and then if you think about the fact that this is not just vegetables that we're eating, there's protein, there's beans, there's meat, there's corned beef, which is also heavily. You know, you can't eat that thing unless you're eating like a small amount. It's not really a side.
You can't eat a small amount. Like, are you some kind of alien? How are you eating just a small amount? Okay.
Well, we'll go over the ingredients again. Yeah. We need lettuce, which you tear into shreds. Cucumber that is sliced. You can either use sliced tomatoes or cherry tomatoes, and then maybe chop the cherry tomatoes into two, like half them a little bit. And you need shredded carrots, again, sliced onions, optional depending on what you want. Speaking of onions, here's a trick I learned. If you're like one of those people that's not comfortable eating raw onions because of onion breath, I think you can soak them in vinegar for a little bit of time, like a minute or two.
Interesting.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I haven't tried it, but I noticed that with the salad de palmiste, I didn't have onion breath. And that had vinegar in it, so maybe. Anyway, so lettuce, cucumber, tomatoes, carrots, onions, corned beef, baked beans, salad cream, and hard-boiled eggs sliced. Some people use ketchup as well, which I thought was kind of odd. Or maybe if you don't have, I know, maybe if you don't have salad cream, maybe they mix ketchup with mayonnaise to get that Thousand Island dressing. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but when I saw the ketchup, I was like, pass.
Hard pass.
Yep. So anyway, once you have all these ingredients, all you're doing is just layering. Especially if you want to make it look pretty. So I've seen some people kind of mix everything together. They just toss all the ingredients together, toss in the salad cream and mix everything. Especially if they're expecting to eat it all in one go. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the people do with coleslaw, right? Mm-hmm. But it's much nicer when you just a layer of lettuce, then cucumber. You just layer everything up and then you start again. Build like two or three layers. And then you do the very top is what you top with your boiled eggs. And then you now like have the salad cream on the side, or you can like squirt it over the top for presentation purposes. That kind of thing.
And just so you know, when we say put salad cream on top, we don't just mean, oh, just a dab of salad cream. No, this salad has to bathe.
Okay, maybe not bathe.
It has to bathe.
Oh, Jesus.
In salad cream. Like, okay. If you just have a tiny little bit, like, what are you? No. You know, except maybe you have some on some healthy cake, in which case, probably shouldn't be eating the salad.
Oh, honestly, like, but when you go to all these events, like, I've never been to
it's like you're pretty much drinking this. Like,
wow. No, it. You guys know. Okay, keep
that's
in mind.
How I make my own, if you like. I'm telling you, it's so good.
Keep in mind, guys, that you can limit the quantity of salad cream that you use.
You can, but really?
And when you're making with the baked beans, you can also, if you want, you can try to drain out some of the sauce. The baked bean sauce, and then just try to use as much of the beans and as little of the sauce as you can. This is something that you see, to be honest, I haven't been to a lot of Nigerian or like Indian events outside of home. I've been to people's houses and they'll have it there, but I don't know if they have it at weddings and stuff like that. Do they?
They usually do.
Okay.
However, personally, I try not to eat in weddings except the cream on the side, and then I add my cream. So at the places where I've been, where I've actually tried it, is that they would have the cream on the side, mm-hmm. and then you could put the salad cream by yourself, because obviously the salad cream is made with milk and I'm not about to have tummy ache.
Okay. And I think even like that's the same case with a lot of places, like even with a regular, like a salad that you might be more used to in North America, the vinaigrette or the dressing is on the side, and then you can put what you want, because it makes the salad go bad faster even if you put the dressing on it.
And one other thing too, guess what this goes very well with?
Pepper?
Auntie?
I don't know. You always say pepper now. I figured it was pepper.
No. Our other special.
Oh, jollof rice. Jollof rice.
This salad and jollof rice. Hey, God. I'm telling you. If you're going to your in-law's place, that's the first thing. Just salad, this salad and jollof rice. Oh, Lord.
I've never tried them together. I'm not kidding. I've never tried them together. I'm not kidding. I've never tried them together.
No. I'm telling you, these were two of our other specials, plantain.
Oh, yeah.
And jollof rice.
That's a complete
party. My good God. You eat it and you go into a second layer of consciousness.
Wow.
So now I can tell you what I thought about it. Like, I like it. It's something that I've been eating since I was a kid. I thought it was really nice that we had it in this special, because I do think it's worth highlighting. I am slightly biased, but what I do for sure, growing up, we ate it as a side with jollof rice, fried chicken, and your plantain. But now, you know, when our metabolism is not how it used to be, when we're sugaring,
running up and down,
plain. So now, if I choose to make it, I do eat it as a meal in and of itself. I think the baked beans again gives it that creaminess. But so you have the creaminess from the baked beans, which is kind of sweet, and then you also have the tarty sweetness from the salad cream.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have vegetables inside that absorb all these flavors, such as your cabbage as well.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also have this little oomph from your onion, and it, to be specific, it's the red onion.
Yes,
not the white onion.
Red onions.
So
yeah.
That also had this little oomph into it. And depending on if you rinse out your vegetables in vinegar, you can have a little bit more of that acidity. So by the time you bring all that together and your corned beef and everything in it, as well as the egg, which starts out plain and absorbs things around it, everything you're eating or crunching into has that creamy, sweet, tangy taste that all comes together nicely. But yes, it is... If you put it in a plate, your plate's kind of going to be kind of heavy. Like it's a little chunky. But you will see the pictures when we put them up on the blog, on our Instagram page at Tunica Media, and Ijoma will have them on 234 Pantry as well. It is a really rich. Gorgeous and rich dish to look at. Yeah. Just putting it on the table when you're serving, it just makes the table look really pretty.
Yeah, it's an eye catcher.
It's definitely an eye catcher. Yeah. What did you think?
Well, it's... I don't know how to follow that, honestly. Like, it was...
You know how I am when I like something.
Yeah, I know. I liked it, but I think I've had it... Because I'd had it before, so it wasn't anything new for me. But mm-hmm. then, at the same time, it didn't really excite me. So I'm going to say something sacrilegious. I found that even without the salad cream, because they had the baked beans, and lettuce does have water in it, so there was... I could still eat it without the salad cream. I know, you look confused. And with the carrots also have water in it. I don't know. Maybe because in my mind, I was like, I'm not at the age where I can be getting away with Heinz up and down the place, Heinz salad cream. But it's good. It's, well, she looks very disgusted right now.
I'm judging. And I'm serious. Like, I don't know.
I liked it both ways. Let me just say I liked it both ways. That's what she said. Yeah, what she said. One thing I did want to highlight is, as you might already know, that Yemi and I are Nigerian. I don't know if we actually said what country the salad comes from, but I'll tell you this. So I always thought of it as a Nigerian salad. And then one day, I don't remember how many years ago it was, I saw, Ghanaian salad as a description, and it was exactly the same thing. And honestly, this recipe that I got, this mix, actually came from a Ghanaian food blogger. So it turns out Ghana eats this as well. So if you meet a Nigerian person, they might look at it and go, oh, that's a Nigerian salad. And then you meet a Ghanaian person, they're like, oh, that's a Ghanaian salad. So I don't know. We just call this Nigerian-Ghanaian salad.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah.
It brings us together.
Or it makes us fight about what it's called. But that's a different story.
Everybody be all right. 2021. Let's hug and kumbaya, Biko.
Perfect.
So there you have it. As always, we hope you learned something new. And maybe we've given you a few ideas to try out if you want something different at your dinner table.
Yep. And also, this is our last episode for the season.
Can you believe we've been doing this for almost 2 years? Like, it's actually been a minute.
Yeah, it's crazy, actually, how much we've covered. It's been nice. Anyhow, it's been a pleasure doing this again with you for another season, dear listeners.
Why are you only thanking Minko?
Oh, it's also been a pleasure doing this with you, Yemi, for another season.
Thank you.
We kicked it off with a plantain special at the beginning of the year, and then we moved on to Gabon in Western Africa. We've traveled from Gabon all the way to Namibia, and here we are at the end of another special and another season. We thank you so much for sticking with us through this incredible journey.
And let not your heart be troubled.
No.
We will be back again next year with more interesting, educational, and definitely delicious dishes. In the meantime, you can binge on our previous episodes and be part of our silly, silly moments.
We hope you have a wonderful holiday, and we will be back before you know it.
Cha-ching!
Don't say it. Damn it.
Bye.
Why can't you? Why must you say bye?
I have issues.